1865, steel hilt with colishmard blade, grip bound in silver wire, pierced pommel and guard, blade length 32 inches.
Huh, sword like that wouldn't be worth muty shit in a firefight.
Hey, JB, look at the length of this mother!
Oki's face pressed against a case across the hall. The long dark hair in her ponytail swung back and forth with her excitement. Dix joined her, reading slowly from the card.
Model 1842 rifle musket. Fired the 740 grain mini ball. Sights up to 900 yards.
Over a fucking half mile? That right, JB?
I'd back it up to about 80 yards.
Look at the barrel on it. It must be over 5 feet long.
Couldn't get that inside your coat.
Wouldn't want to.
You gonna change that Lappa now, Ryan? On through there, under that arch, is an armory of modern stuff. You should get something new.
Like what?
JB's sallow face warmed with a smile, and his eyes twinkled behind the thick lenses of his glasses.
Go see. I saw something you might like.
Ryan walked quickly away, hearing the click of Christie's dark blue cowboy boots following. He slowed down and waited for her, passing Finnegan and Hennings, immaculate in their matching blue jumpers.
How's the hand, Ryan?
He inspected it. A little dried blood was crusted around the cut from the muty spear tip, but it looked clean. Ryan knew that out east there were villages of dirties who lived in mud huts and used poison on their arrows. The trader had told him about them.
Better. Thanks, Hen.
On either side, rows of cases were stacked one above the other. Ryan knew that J.B. Dix had a few precious booklets and pages torn from mags that showed some blasters from before the chill. Now those blasters were in front of him, and he read the names on the cards.
Colt, Remington, Walker, Sharps, Smith & Wesson, Winchester, Luger, Gatling, Maxim, Walther...
J.B. could stay here for the rest of his life, Christie.
Kalashnikov,
this is what his life is all about.
Thompson,
blasters in
Mandler,
all shapes and sizes.
Schmeisser,
look at him.
Uzi,
just look.
Mauser.
He never even noticed the tiny vid camera hidden in the shadows near the ceiling, its tiny lens darting from side to side, following the movements of the group. Just as they'd raided the clothes stores, so everyone took their pickings from the section of the museum beyond the arch, where there were rows and rows of greased and oiled blasters in all sizes and shapes and calibers, grenades and bombs and mines and rockets, bayonets and Gren launchers, strangling wires and bazookas, machine guns, and poison pistols. Hunniker replaced the broad-bladed dagger that she'd broken fighting the Sioux in the darks. Barely a week earlier, it seemed like a dozen lifetimes. On JB's recommendation, she took a 9mm Ingram submachine gun that pared everything down to the minimum. Despite its small size, the light bolt action gave it a staggering rate of fire, close to 1,500 rounds per minute. The card said it was the Model 12. She also took a supply of the stick mags. Oki kept her M16A1 carbine with the collapsed stock, adding to it an IMI mini Uzi submachine gun. It weighed just over 6 pounds and was less than 15 inches in length. Christie liked the clean silvered finish on a Heckler & Koch P7A13 pistol, which fired a 9mm bullet out of a 13-round magazine. Because of the large number of rounds it held, there was a special insulating block in front of the trigger to absorb heat from the gas that retarded the slide opening. JB nodded his approval of her choice. Finnegan and Hennings both went for the 15-round Model 92 Beretta pistol with frame-mounted safety, firing a 9mm round. They both liked a whole rack of dull gray Heckler & Koch submachine guns with built-in silencers and 50-round drum magazines. They fired single, triple, or continuous bursts of 9mm bullets. The card said it was a development of the famous HK-54A2 model of the 1990s. Ryan watched JB, strolling around the rooms of new guns, hands behind his back, lips moving as though he was silently praying. But he wasn't. He was simply comparing the various qualities of the blasters arranged all around him as he watched the others carry armfuls of ammo down to their dormitory.
Can't do much better than what I've got.
He pulled out his Steyr AUG 5.6mm.
Nice Browning high power over there. Might take a mini Uzi like Oki got. Useful if we meet a mess of muties. And a new knife or two. Maybe stock up on Grens, huh?
The men spun at the cough behind them, each dropping instinctively into a fighter's crouch.
My apologies, gentlemen, if I caused a shimmer of nervousness to trickle through your bodies.
Just knock it off, Doc.
JB, relaxing, pushed back the brim of his crumpled fedora, fumbling in his pocket for one of his favored cheroots.
I have taken the liberty of arming myself, if you have no objection, so I can be less of a weight for you to bear on our little jaunts.
Jaunts? What kind of blasters you got?
An uncle of mine, a dear sweet man, once owned a handgun of some rarity, a weapon for the connoisseur. Also, in the right hands, one could use it to blast the balls off a demented sticky, if I may be excused a lapse into the vernacular.
You may, Doc. You damn well may.
I have also taken this to aid me in my striding over the difficult terrain we seem to encounter. I seem to remember owning something very similar once upon a time.
He held a long ebony walking stick in his right hand. As he tossed it in the air and caught it, the glittering silver pommel was revealed. It was a beautiful carving of the head of some ferocious animal with great teeth and a mane of hair.
Handsome, Doc.
More than that, my dear Mr. Dix. Voila!
With a twist of the hand, he loosened the head, drawing out a snaking rapier of polished steel from within the ebony shell.
From the plant of elegance, I pluck the flower of mortality.
Nice sword, Doc. But what about a blaster?
Grudging praise from you, Mr. Dix, is better than the most fulsome flattery from the lips of lesser mortals. Yes, as I said, I believe that... Did I mention the handgun that an uncle...
Yes, go on.
I saw it. Here it is.
He pulled a massive blaster from the front of his frock coat.
It's a double-barrel cannon. Lamad, ain't it, Doc? Heard of him. Never thought I'd see one.
Ryan extended a hand for the pistol, nearly dropping it, surprised by the weight. Doc Tanner read aloud the card that had been in the showcase.
A 9-chambered percussion revolver designed by Dr. Jean-Alexandre François Lemar of New Orleans in 1856, being granted U.S. Patent 15925, manufactured in Louisiana by Pierre Beauregard, who would later fight as general for the Confederate States Army at Manassas and Shiloh.